The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we have a neat show ahead for you here. We're covering an area that we haven't really talked about in a while, but a very critical area for real estate investors, and that is the subject of business credit. This is an area that is real critical for so many folks. Credit is just a major staple here for real estate investors, so it's great that we have an amazing expert on business credit and all types of credit. Her name is Jeri Detweiler. She's a credit expert and education director for NAV, a website which provides business owners with simple tools to build strong business credit in financially healthy companies. She's been interviewed for more than 3,000 news stories with such media outlets as The Today Show, Dateline NBC, The New York Times, USA Today, and Reader's Digest. She has also appeared multiple times on Fox Business, CNN, and other television programs across the country and answered over 10,000 credit questions online. Her articles have been widely syndicated, and she is the author or co-author of 5 books, including Finance Your Own Business, Get on the Financing Fast Track, with a previous Old Dog guest, Garrett Sutton. She has hosted her own radio show and testified before Congress on consumer credit legislation. Well, Jeri, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's great having you on. This is an important area for us, and I'm sure you've interacted with real estate investors in the course of your great career here. But business credit can be very valuable or very disastrous, depending on how you approach it.
Yeah, I think credit in general, we have a lot of customers at NAV who are real estate investors. And then almost every year I speak to our local real estate investing group here in Sarasota, Florida, where I live. And they're always hungry for information about credit, personal and business, because as you well know, the two are often very intertwined when you're an entrepreneur.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. Well, I'd be real curious just before we jump into our topic here, just to find out a little bit more about your background and how you happen to end up in this credit area.
fate. Maybe people tell me my name is Detweiler, so I talk about debt. I don't know.
I like that. That's great. It truly
was accidental, but I started my career in Washington, D.C. with an advocacy group. And at the time, we were the only group that was focused just on credit issues. I got to work on some really cool stuff, like the legislation that got us free consumer credit reports for the first time, and legislation that required them to tell us what our credit card interest rate was before we got the card, as opposed to after we got the card in the mail. So I got to do a lot of really cool stuff. I wrote the first mass market book that talked about FICO scores back in the day. And a few years ago, I'd say maybe 10 years now, I met Garrett Sutton, who you mentioned has been a guest on your podcast. And he's a real estate attorney and rich dad advisor. So he works with a lot of entrepreneurs. And he said to me, credit's super interesting. A lot of my clients, though, are running into problems with business credit, or they're spending a lot of money trying to build business credit, and sometimes it doesn't, pan out the way they had hoped. So he said, what can we do to help them? So that's when I started getting into business credit, and I ended up writing the book Finance Your Own Business with Garrett. And in the course of reaching that book, I talked to the CEO of NAB. I loved what they were doing, followed the company for a few years, and here I am full-time talking to entrepreneurs. So it's a lot of fun, and I love the fact that I can blend those two areas, personal and business credit, to help entrepreneurs hopefully avoid a little pain and experience more success.
Oh, that's great. Well, I am familiar with NAB. It's been a site that I've actually interacted with a number of times, and it's been a great resource. But, I noticed something is so interesting there. We talk about business credit versus personal credit. I think that maybe we should just zero in on the distinction here. What is business credit, and, how does that differ from personal credit?
There are commercial credit reporting agencies that collect credit data and sell it, just like on your consumer side. They're selling it to businesses, to insurance companies, to lenders. One big difference is that they can sell it to anybody. So where a personal credit report is very restricted under federal law, who can see it, who can access it, business credit reports are available to anyone. And just like any other credit report, it basically tells the story of the business and how it's paid many of its bills, and helps that other party, whoever it is, even if it's a prospective business partner, get an idea of whether to take a chance and do business with your company. So the three major bureaus, Dun & Bradstreet, Experian, and Equifax, they all collect commercial credit data and then package it and sell it about your business. So if you have a business, you have an entity, an LLC, an S-Corp, C-Corp, you may already have a business credit report and not know it. And what's really fun for me now shifting into this area is that entrepreneurs just don't know anything about it. So I get to sort of help them from scratch, hopefully do things the right way from the beginning.
Oh, that's great. One thing that I'm sure there's a lot of folks listening. We have people from all walks of life, and some people are just examining real estate investing as a possible means of involvement, whether as an investor or maybe as something that they might want to take on almost as a second career. So why is business credit matter to real estate investors?
I find that business credit can be very helpful to real estate investors, in largely by separating their business and personal credit and giving them access to credit in the name of the business. So you want to try as much as possible to minimize the impact of your business on your personal credit. Now, as an entrepreneur, I think both are important. I don't think that, you say, well, we're just going to build business credit and not worry about my personal credit. I think both are very important. And that's one reason why at NAB we show business owners both credit types of credit information. But the goal is to move away from personal credit, so eventually you can do more transactions in the name of the business and have little or no impact on your personal credit as your business grows.
Yeah, and I think that those are key points here. One thing that a lot of folks do is they jump into real estate investing. They're using their own personal credit, and let's say they're flipping, for example, and they you can buy a house on a credit card, and doing these transactions to get their business going, but they don't realize that the major impact that has on your personal credit, before they know it, they've already impacted their credit, and maybe some negative things that have happened as well. And that's the idea of separating them. At least I found a real advantage in that I can preserve my personal credit and keep that good and strong and high rating. You know, as I'm doing the business transactions, you can do a lot more activity that, for example, if you're trying to build up your credit, so you're applying multiple times for loans and so forth. Well, those inquiries on my personal credit can be harmful. You know, it can actually bring my credit score down. Isn't that correct?
Yes, exactly. And what you're describing is the scenario we see all the time with real estate investors and other entrepreneurs. You're scrappy, you do what you have to do. And if you have credit cards sitting in your wallet and your credit lines total $100,000, $200,000, which is not unusual these days when you add them all together, sometimes it's just the easiest way to get that financing is to either take a cash advance or do a balance transfer and have the money deposited into your bank account and use that to fix up the property and then flip it. But in the meantime, you have these very high balances on your credit cards. And the second most important factor in your consumer credit scores is the debt you're carrying. And there they're looking at the percentage of your available credit balances on your credit cards that you're using. So the closer you get to the credit limit, the more it impacts your score. So I have talked to real estate investors who have seen their scores fluctuate anywhere from 40 to 75 points or more a month based on the high balances on their personal credit. So one super simple tip, one easy tip for any real estate entrepreneur is to get a business credit card that doesn't show up on your personal credit. And then if you do need to tap those funds, it doesn't affect your personal credit. Now, if you default, almost all of them are going to report to personal credit, but there are many that don't report to personal credit as long as you pay on time. And so you're not impacting your debt usage ratio. And I have a quick link to an article I wrote as a chart with all the major credit card issuers and their policies. It's at nav.com. So that's nav.com/report. So just /report. And that will list all the major card issuers. So if you do nothing else, like if you're saying, well, I don't know about this business credit, I don't know if I have time for it, at least get a business credit card that doesn't show up. So if you need to rehab a property, you can put it on that card and not on your personal card.
That's great. Great advice. One of the things that I kind of ran into early on was that I would be applying for a business credit card. Yeah. And they asked for my tax ID for my business, my business tax ID. But then they also asked for my personal ID, my personal tax ID, my social security number. So when you put both of them on an application like that, how do you know that that's not going to impact your personal credit?
You don't know unless you do the research, honestly. They just aren't very upfront about it. So that's why I did the research in the article that I mentioned. Now, I should back up and say that all of these major small business credit card issuers will check the owner's personal credit. That's how they're making the decision. So as long as you have decent personal credit and you meet their minimum income requirements from all sources, doesn't just have to be your business, but from all sources, then you can get one of these cards. All of them require a personal guarantee. So if you default, if you don't, the deals don't pan out, you end up not paying it back, they can go after you personally. And all of them, except for one, will report to personal if you default. So if you don't pay it back, it'll show up on your personal credit. But the goal is to keep the day-to-day activity off your personal credit and maintain your personal credit for when you really need it. There may be times when you really need that personal credit rating. You need it to be strong. Maybe you're looking at SBA financing, for example, where they will check the owner's personal credit and they might check a blended score that checks business and personal credit. So you want to maintain it for those opportunities where it's really essential.
So it's important to maintain that personal credit score because that also affects your ability to get good business credit, then I would assume, right?
Exactly. What I like to tell entrepreneurs is there's sort of three legs to this stool. One leg is your credit. So that's your business and personal. So you want to try to make sure both business and personal credit is strong. The other is going to be time in business. Just statistics show us that businesses that have been around longer are automatically low risk just because they've survived. So they'll look at time in business, and that could be whenever you started your business. It doesn't have to be when you incorporated it, but I encourage you to pick a date and stick with it so that it's consistent no matter when and where you're asked. Lenders don't like to see that you are not consistent because it might indicate you're trying to hide something. And then the third is going to be revenues. So when you're young, your business may not have a lot of revenues and you may not be eligible for certain types of financing based on that. But as your business grows and you have the revenue, then that adds to your options. So when you, if you address all three of those, if you're working on all three areas, then you have more options. You have a greater number of options. You have more attractive financing options, lower costs, et cetera. It may not happen overnight, but that's the goal that you're working for. And if you set this foundation when you start as early as you can, then you set yourself up for a better chance of success.
Another great tip. What types of business credit can a real estate investor use?
A lot of real estate investors that we that are NAV customers do like to use business credit cards because they're doing fix and flip, you know, rehabbing a property. They also like to get business credit from vendors that don't report to their personal credit. So, for example, once you have a little bit of business credit built up, you can work with companies like Home Depot to get a commercial account, or get, if you need, computers, you get them through Dell commercial account. You get, you can get vendor accounts through companies like Grainger and Uline and Quill. And those all, they offer just the huge catalogs of just about anything you could need, whether it's janitorial supplies or painting supplies, Keurig cups for your office coffee maker, whatever it may be. These things don't check personal credit. They don't report to personal credit. So they're a way for you to start building business credit early in your business. So even if you don't feel like you need it yet, starting to build business credit with vendor accounts can be a great, option. And there's a short list at nav.com/vendors. And that's the list, Quill, Uline and Grainger, that are very easy to get started.
That's great. How do real estate investors separate their business and personal credit? Are there tips on ways to do that?
Yeah, one of the biggest questions I get is a lot of real estate investors will have multiple entities, right? So they might hold one property in an LLC and have another property, another LLC, et cetera. So what I do recommend is you have one entity that you focus on building business credit for. And often for many real estate investors, that will be a company that does marketing or management as opposed to one that's just holding a property. And the reason is that there are codes, industry codes, SIC and NAICS codes that identify your industry. And if you have a business that's not flagged directly as real estate, it's just considered less risk, right? So there's a lot of reward in real estate, but there's also can be a lot of risk if, you know, depending on when you buy and where you buy and how you do it. So if you have that main entity, so an example is one of Garrett's clients, she built business credit and she had a property management and marketing company, and that's where she built her business credit. Then she used other LLCs to hold individual properties. So she focused her effort on that one. And that's a very common scenario or common question that we get from real estate investors. Don't try to do it all with every entity. It's not necessary.
Yeah, I actually had that exact experience where I was trying to build up my credit for my property LLC, Manicero Properties LLC. And it was very difficult, again, because they would ask, my classification, I'd say real estate, and there was a lot of resistance. But what I did is I set up a separate, which was a marketing entity, because, you know, we do a fair amount of marketing. And I thought, well, let's use that. And I was just inundated with offers and credit. I mean, lines like unbelievable. And I'm going, wow, my real estate company is more established, but the marketing was brand new. And yet I was just, it opened up all kinds of avenues. So you're right, spot on that, because that made a big difference to me.
Such a perfect example. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure. Well, what are some of the common credit mistakes that real estate investors make as opposed to maybe other types of businesses?
I think the most common mistake is, well, I will tell you, I hear a lot of really weird things when I talk to my real estate investor group. And I think it's because they're so intensely interested and focused on credit. So they end up spending a lot of money sometimes for questionable advice. And I'll give you a specific example. I went to spoke to them last year, and this woman came up afterward and she said, I was told by this credit repair guru that I should keep every one of my credit cards at exactly 17% utilization. So she should have a balance that's exactly 17% of her credit limit. Well, FICO doesn't work like that. You know, there's no magic number that's going to get you to where you want to be. So I think the two things I would caution for real estate investors is that, one, if you do have personal credit challenges, I'm not opposed to credit repair. But be careful about spending a lot of money, because there's really nothing that credit repair can't do that you can't do on your own. Doesn't mean you don't want to outsource it, because there's better use for your time, but be careful about spending thousands of dollars on credit repair because you think that somehow they have some secret sauce that's going to make it all go away. And then the second thing I would say is, you know, really start to methodically get in the habit of monitoring and working on your credit, even just a few minutes every month. It doesn't have to take a lot of time, but it is so crucial to your business that if you're not paying attention and monitoring on a regular basis, something could really set things back. And I'll give you a quick example. In one of those workshops, one of the investors, he's very successful. He paid cash for his open heart surgery. That's, you know, he's a pretty successful guy. But you know how when you go for medical procedures at the hospital, you get a million different bills? One of them fell through the cracks. It was very, very small amount of money. It was under a couple hundred dollars. But it hit his credit report as a collection account. And his credit scores dropped 75 points.
Wow.
That one item. So for you, I would say for you as the real estate investor, it's even more important that you stay on top of this, because it can have a direct impact on your next deal.
One of the toughest things in real estate investing is just plain getting started. And that's an area where many of our listeners are maybe even grappling with right now. And there's always that question, well, where do I get the money from? Yeah, maybe they have pension funds. Maybe they have their 401k or their IRA. Some may have a line of maybe an equity line or like a HELOC for their home. Others may have credit cards that they haven't used. What would you recommend? What is sort of Robert Kiyosaki talks a lot about sort of the good credit and bad credit, and the good credit are things like mortgages, things that have tax advantages and other benefits for you. What would you say would be sort of the best credit to use to get started? Maybe they're going to need, you know, $50,000 up front. What would you say would be sort of the best one for their, you know, for their overall credit purposes?
Well, if you can get a mortgage for that first property, great. I don't have any problem with that. And actually, mortgages on credit reports, you can have a very large mortgage on a credit report, and that amount of debt is really not an issue for your personal FICO or even your Vantage score or credit scores. They treat it differently than they do, say, credit card debt. But then you are going to probably, if you're like typical real estate investors, you're going to do something to improve the property. So that's where I would say that if you have access to a business credit card that doesn't report, that could be a very good use of your funds. Now, it's not always the cheapest money, but it's also not the most expensive money either. So the average business credit card rate right now is about 17%. But there are ones that offer 0% balance transfer for, say, 18 months, even if it's 0% for a year. If that's enough for you to, you can get the money deposited into your account, so it doesn't have to be a credit card purchase necessarily. And then if that's enough for you to go ahead and flip that property, you know, rehab it, flip it, and then move on to your next deal, that's a perfectly acceptable and typical strategy for a real estate investor to employ. And then, as I mentioned, I would also look at the same time building up some business credit so you can start getting some vendor accounts. So vendor accounts are ones where your suppliers, the people you're maybe getting your paint from or your whatever you need, maybe you need furniture to stage the property, whatever you need for that, the rehab part of the deal, you're getting it where you don't have to pay for it up front. It's good for cash flow. And I know that's one of your big topics, right, is cash flow, because cash is really very important. So you want to try to get, say, net 30, net 60, net 90 terms on those things that you need to grow, to complete whatever you need to complete, so that you don't have to pay for it up front. the less you can pay for upfront, the less finance you need, the easier and more flexible it is for your business.
That's great, great information. There's a lot of folks that are probably more in the flipping and wholesaling area that I know that, they just have stacks of credit cards, and they kind of play this game, and I don't know if it's good or bad, but you know, where they, you know, they'll charge up, like you said, they'll get on the zero interest, you know, for 12 months, 18 months, and they'll make an initial charge. And if they run over, then what they do is they do a balance transfer to another zero interest account, and just kind of keep moving, shifting the funds around so that they don't have to really pay any major interest. I mean, is that something as dangerous to do?
It depends. Yes, it can be absolutely dangerous. So I would say you want to go in with a deal you feel very confident about. You do want to make sure you pay attention to those due dates. One thing with business credit cards is they are not covered by the Credit Card Act, which is the federal law that protects us against things like changing your interest rate, you know, anytime for any reason. So if you pay a consumer credit card late, your interest rate isn't going to go up right away, at least not anymore, thanks to that law. But on a business credit card, if you look at what they call the penalty rates, they're steep. So you miss that payment on that business credit card, it could go up to 28% overnight. So you have to be very disciplined and organized to use that strategy. But as we mentioned earlier, if your business is younger and doesn't have the revenues or time in business, then you do have fewer options. So you have to get a little bit more creative with the financing.
As you're building up your business credit, you mentioned like Quill and some of these other entities out there that will generally, you know, grant you sort of a line of credit and to help build up your credit history as a business. What other types of things can we do to sort of help build up that payment history or whatever it may be to be able to get to the point where you can get lines of credit with credits with banks, for example, where you might need a major construction project or something of that nature?
Well, payment history is extremely important with business credit, probably even more so than with personal credit. With personal credit, if you've ever missed a payment on a credit card, as long as you make it before 30 days is up, they're not going to report you as late. Business credit uses something called DBT, or days beyond terms. So if you have terms with your vendor and it's, say it's net 60 terms, you pay on day 62, you're 2 DBT. If it's net 30 terms, you pay on day 32, you're still 2 DBT, because it's the days beyond the due date that you had agreed with that vendor or lender. So it's very, very granular. So I do warn business owners, you want to set up systems to make sure that things get paid on time. And then there are a number of different lenders. I mean, at NAV, we have a marketplace. We work with over 30 different lenders around the country of different types. We're not a lender ourselves, but we help match our customers to different lending options. And there may be lines of credit, for example, that are available, or term loans that are available to your business. I will caution two things. One is the one you mentioned earlier, which is some lenders will not lend into real estate businesses. So you may need a different entity. I want you to be honest about it, but if you have a marketing entity, great. That can be the entity that you can get the loan into. And then I would also caution again that they're going to want to see some revenues and some time in business. For revenues, they're going to want to see either bank statements, or they want to tie into your business bank account to see what's going in and out. So you do want to have a separate business bank account for that entity, where you're running your funds for that entity through that entity, so that you can demonstrate revenues for your business. Without it, you're going to have fewer options for sure.
That's great. Well, when I first started building business credit, the one entity that just, you know, stood out to me was Dun & Bradstreet. Okay. And for me, you know, at least what people were telling me, this is really important. You've got to get a good, you know, rating by Dun & Bradstreet. And so, you know, I went and I applied, I did all the things I had to do, but you know, I kept running into these walls where, you know, I'm trying to improve my Dun & Bradstreet, you know, rating, but, you know, you kind of have to join, or you've got to pay these fees to, you know, to get their special service. And then it seemed like it was kind of, I don't know, it's kind of this entity where I wonder if it's overrated or if it really is a critical element for your business credit.
Yeah, so Dun & Bradstreet is the oldest credit bureau in the United States. Abraham Lincoln actually worked for them back in the day.
And no way.
Yeah. Actually, four former U.S. presidents who worked as reporters for D&B. So they've been around a long, long time. Wow. And they sell a lot of credit data. People have probably heard of the D&B Paydex score. That's one of their flagship scores. And if you want to do business with the government or you want to get an SBA guaranteed loan, then you will need a DUNS number, which is their identifier in the Dun & Bradstreet system. So they do play a key role. They do offer some products that will speed up the process of building business credit. But one of the reasons I got excited about NAV and included them in Finance Your Own Business, even before I was working for them, was because NAV was trying to do that all for business owners for free. And so we have a tool called Business Launcher. We will guide our customers through the process of building business credit. It doesn't cost anything. And it will work for a variety of the business credit bureaus as well, D&B, as well as Equifax and Experian. So if you're in a rush and you have a reason why you need to build up those references fast, then D&B offers services where you pay them and they will add these accounts more quickly to your credit reports. But you can also do the process for free, and we'll show you how.
Yeah, that's something I really like about the service, and not to, you know, sit here and promote you, but really it's that was one of the frustrating things for me, is just to find out what my Paydex score was going through D&B is the just trying to get that information, whereas you guys can actually, you know, supply that. At least from what I understand, you can get those business credit scores a lot easier.
Yeah, so there's no federal requirement that your credit, business credit, be disclosed to you ever. It does if you're turned down for credit, if you want to see a free annual copy, if you're a victim of fraud. All those are circumstances where you would get free copies of your consumer credit, but there's no such requirement on business credit. And so what NAV has done is created a platform where we show business owners their business credit for free and then give them free tools to help build strong business credit and financially healthy companies. And it is truly free, no credit card required. So that is an option for the business owner who wants to shortcut this and see it and monitor it all in one place. And I should mention, too, that business identity theft is a growing problem. And it actually, now that we have consumer credit freezes available, I strongly predict, and I've been in this industry for so long, that we're going to see more fraud on the business side because it's easier. If business owners aren't checking their credit, they don't know if someone's used their credit. And so the crook can get away with it longer. I was just at a conference where a woman came up to me and she said, yeah, she said someone opened a business credit card in my business name. And she said, I found out about it because they started calling all my relatives and telling them that I wasn't paying my bills. She said,
what?
They can't do that on the consumer side, right? There are consumer protection laws. They can't tell other people about your debt problems. But on the business side, it's fair game. So like she was saying, it was something like her sister's ex-husband or somebody was getting calls about this account. So I don't want to be alarmist, but I do want to tell the business owner, hey, you work hard on your business. You want to protect it. And just checking once a month for free to see where your business credit is, make sure there's nothing unusual, is not a terribly difficult task. And it's something I think is important.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. How does NAV maybe differ from, things like NerdWallet or
Credit Karma.
Yeah.
Well, we're often compared to Credit Karma as the Credit Karma for small business. So we're the only site that shows you free business credit scores and a personal credit score in one place and then gives you tools to build strong business credit. We operate very similarly to Credit Karma, though, in that we show these credit report data, credit scores. We update it monthly. And then if you're looking for financing, we have a marketplace of options. And because we know something about your credit, we can show you offers that are a better fit for you. And that's exactly how Credit Karma operates in the consumer space as well.
A lot of our folks listening are 50 plus in age. Some are approaching retirement. Some are already retired. And they are looking at moving into real estate, investing seriously. What advice would you have from a credit standpoint to help them to start off on the right legs here?
Well, first of all, your age is a huge advantage here on your credit. So we get some credit for having some experience with your personal credit score. FICO shows the statistics show that, that individuals with a long established credit history tend to have higher credit scores. And so having 25 years of credit history showing up is great for your credit score. It also gives you a little bit more leeway. So I'm in that over 50 crowd, and I can tell you when if I have a high balance on a credit card, high-ish, I wouldn't say hugely high, but let's say I hit the 35% mark. My balance that's reported on my credit report is at 35%. I'm not, and I know this statistically, I've looked at my credit score fluctuations. It's not going to drop my credit score like some of my coworkers at NAV who are in their 20s and have a short credit history and they max out a credit card or even have a higher balance and their credit score drops by 30, 40 points because all the information in there is weighted against, you know, other information in there. So it's, so we have a huge advantage there and that can serve you well, but it can also change very quickly. So what FICO has put out in statistics has shown that a negative item that hits your credit, if you have a really strong credit score, will result in a bigger drop than someone who has a lower credit score. So you do have to protect your credit because you can use it to your advantage. But if you start running into trouble, missing payments, or if you have a really high balance, 70% of your available credit, you may see a bigger drop. So you, it's even, I think it's an advantage, but it's also something you want to protect as that, as an advantage.
Gotcha. Good advice. I think there are folks that are listening that, you know, kind of curious to what, you know, what kinds of offerings are there in the credit world that, that would help them, that would be more advantageous for them. Do you have just kind of an overview of the types of credit vehicles out there that would benefit businesses?
Yeah, a few types. So online loans, you know, it used to be you had to go to your bank if you wanted a term loan or a line of credit. Now there's lots of online lenders who are trying to fill that gap. The interest rates do vary, so you have to be very careful. And the other thing with business credit is the interest rate not, may not be stated as an APR. So we can talk about that in a moment because I want to give a tip there. But online loans, so those could be term loans, line of credit, receivables, financing. So if you have contracts and you have invoices outstanding on a regular basis, that could be something where you could get that money up front. And I know one real estate investor also does landscaping and maintenance for commercial properties. And he finds that his big commercial clients tend to pay slowly. And so he sometimes factors those invoices so that he can get paid money up front and then get the rest of it when the invoice is collected by either by that company or you, sometimes you collect it yourself. So those would probably, and then SBA financing. SBA does have some financing that is used by real estate investors, including in the 7A program and the 504 program. The SBA financing is guaranteed up to a percentage by the federal government. So it's pretty stringent. You have to be able to meet the qualifications. But if you do meet the qualifications, the interest rates are attractive, the terms are attractive, there's no hidden got you. It's you know, it's very predictable financing. So that can be an option in some cases as well.
Oh, that's great. What about for things like operating capital? A lot of real estate investors end up in that sort of dilemma where you're trying to move forward quickly, but you're realizing that you can't handle it all yourself. You need to hire staff. But to bring the staff aboard, you may not have the capital necessarily to bring in the staff you want. What would you advise going in terms of getting the funding to be able to do that kind of thing?
Well, that's where any of those types of funding that I just mentioned can come into play. But what will be available to you will depend on those three things we talked about, the credit, revenue, and time in business. So as you build all three of those, you more lenders are going to want to extend to you that either a line of credit or a term loan, which is a fixed amount of money for a fixed period of time, usually 2 to 3 years. And then again, SBA financing, which some also use for working capital. So it's there's a variety of sources. Which one's going to work for you depends on what you built up for your qualifications.
Is the SBA process a fairly lengthy process for approvals?
It can be, yes. I would put it up there with bank, you know, traditional bank type financing. There is one lender that we work with, intermediary SmartBiz, that really cuts down the process usually to 30 days or less. Of course, all SBA loans were recently held up because of the government shutdown. So that's been kind of a mess, and they're going to be catching up with that. I don't know how long it's going to take them to catch up on their backlog there. But again, it is a really attractive type of financing. So it's very desirable. And even if you just go, what I like to tell entrepreneurs is there's usually a trade-off. So if you picture a chart and on the x-axis is effort and the y-axis is cost, the more effort you put into preparing for financing, the less you're going to pay for it in most cases, right? And the less effort you put in, chances are it's going to be most expensive. One of the online lenders tells us that about 20% of their applications come in between 6 p.m. at night and 6 a.m. in the morning. So these are entrepreneurs who are sitting there at night thinking, how am I going to pay for this? I need it tomorrow. And really? They're going online at midnight. And that's ideally, that's not where you want to be.
Right. Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, people like Quicken and others have made, you know, loans such a quick process. I'm sure there's others out there, LendingTree and so forth. You know, they've just made it all streamlined. Everything's online. Are there also, you know, you kind of mentioned a little bit there, but are there also some good vehicles there for businesses where they can do that sort of online business?
Well, that's what we do at NAV. So with our marketplace, awesome. Once you have a NAV account, we know your credit scores, we know your time in business. And if you care to share it, we know something about your revenues and we'll tell you which loans are a better fit. We do have a team also who will talk to people one-on-one. We talk to lots of real estate investors and other entrepreneurs every day. No pressure, but help you understand what's out there and what's available to you.
Oh, great. Well, time has just kind of zipped by here. I've still got a million questions, but I think you've given some great tips and advice here for our listeners. We have a little section we call our Wrap It Up, where I just ask you a series of quick questions, and so you can provide resources that will be helpful for our listeners. And if you are ready, we can go ahead and jump into our Wrap It Up session.
Sure.
All right. What's your favorite either real estate or finance book?
Oh, gosh. I would have to say Rich Dad, Poor Dad was definitely I think that's a book that I've heard from people more often than any other book has changed their outlook as entrepreneurs.
No, it's true. Just the whole way we look at money, you know, it's a major, major book. How about your favorite just sort of general business book?
I love a book by Bob Sullivan called The Plateau Effect. And I think it's a really, it changed my life personally and professionally. And I think it's a great book for getting unstuck, thinking differently.
Sure. That's great. Great. I haven't heard that before. That's fantastic. How about most valuable website for success? I know we're going to definitely mention NAV in here too, but besides that, what sort of good reference site is out there that you would want to share with our listeners?
Well, I contribute to allbusiness.com, and the contributors who write for allbusiness.com are not getting paid to write, but we are all working in our respective fields. And so I think there's a lot of really, really good stuff there from people who are working in the field that they are writing about.
Great, great. How about favorite app?
Well, my favorite app in general, I'm hooked right now on a time tracking app called Timular. I'm really trying to keep track of my time because, well, you know how it is, right? It's just gone. So
yes.
that's my latest addiction.
Great. Now I'm going to check that out. Yeah, definitely. As you get older, you know, for me anyway, you know, time just zips by really quickly here. And anything that'll help me get a better handle on that, super. How about a favorite quote?
Favorite quote. Just because this is my quote, but I try to live my life by this. Just because you can't do everything you want to do doesn't mean you can't do anything. So just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you can't do anything.
I like that. That's great. That's your own quote. That's a good one. I'm going to share that with our listeners, of course, here.
Thank you.
And our final one here, and this was actually usually geared to people investing in real estate, but you know, we'll try it out on you here and see what happens. If let's say you lost everything that you had, every asset, and you were down to your last $1,000 in cash, what would you do with that $1,000 to try to relaunch your business?
I'd build a website.
Okay. That was a quick answer. Yeah, it's good. Good.
It's some of the cheapest real estate you can get.
Oh, great. I love it. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening too that want to find out more about you. And I understand you even have a special little offer for our listeners, which is very cool. So maybe you can just tell us about the contact information first and then maybe a little bit about the special promo offer.
Sure. You can always reach out to me at NAV. My email address is easy to guess. It's just my name, Jerry, G-E-R-R-I, at NAV.com. And for Old Dog Real Estate podcast listeners, we are offering a free month of our premium accounts. So we offer a completely free standard NAV account, doesn't require a credit card to join. And we're going to give you a month of premium, which will give you full detailed reports on your business. And all you do is go to NAV.com/free account. So all lowercase, free account. And then when you're asked for a promo code, put in the word podcast, all lowercase, and we'll upgrade you to that premium account for a month.
Oh, that's great. That is a good deal because you have amazing service. And again, I don't want to sell. I'm not getting paid for this here. I'm just sharing what a great resource it's been for me as a business owner. So that's great stuff. Well, Jerry, this has been great having you on. We have a tradition here on the Old Dogs REI Network that all of our guests close us out with their best old hound dog howl. So, yeah, I don't know if your people warned you
of
this.
Why didn't I get to this?
Yeah, you never quite made it to the end. I can tell here.
No.
So you just have to give me your best old hound
howl.
Dog howl. Yeah.
Ow!
Oh, that was good. That's fantastic. Well, sorry to catch you off guard on that one, Jerry, but...
Learn my lesson. Listen to the end. Always listen to the end.
You got it. Well, just thanks so much for being with us. Really appreciate great information for our listeners. Really, really good stuff.
Thank you.
And I just also want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us really means a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today, including all these links that we talked about here, there's going to be some great links. Also, a link for this wonderful NAV offer can be accessed in our detailed show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode with Jerry Detweiler. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time. Keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.